Proverbs chapter 22 and in verse 6. Just one verse right here that I'll read right now. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says this. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. All right, as we look at this scripture, it says, train up a child. It says train. You see that word, train? It don't say to raise them up. Now, raise up's pretty close to train, but you can raise a child up. You can let the television raise him up. You can let the church house, the schoolhouses raise them. It says, train up a child. And you notice it says, child. It don't say teenager. It don't say a 20-year-old or a 30 or 50. It says, train up a child. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'd hate to know I had to preach this about anywhere besides Bethel. I would. But I just want to be fair and straight with you tonight. And how God gave it to me is how you're going to get it. I'm telling you now, you listen, and you listen good. And I know this is the Wednesday night crowd I'm dealing with. And I appreciate everyone that's in here tonight. I'm glad you come out. I don't know where everybody's at. Probably some's on a mini vacation or whatever you call it, since it is spring break. That's fine. I go vacationing too when I get a chance. And they may be sick. I wish, but now if they're at home and they're listening to this, just on the pure of laziness, slothfulness, and God help you. Because I'm telling you today, our children are going to hell. Because of the mama's and the daddy's ways. And the reason I say that today, I'm honest to goodness, in 2011, even at the time that I was born and raised, it's changed so much, it's pitiful. It is really pitiful. And I believe anyone that's sitting here that's been around and about would have to agree, if you're a Christian and know how that we are and what's going on. Today, instead of parents training the kids, now training, I need to read this right here. I wrote some stuff down. To teach and form by practice, to educate and to exercise, to discipline. As to train soldiers for a battle. Now, if you think that raising kids in a Christian home and training them up, if you think they're not ready, getting ready to endure a battle, then you're done beat. Because this is nothing but a pure old battle. Christian life, living a Christian, is nothing but a simple, pure old battle with the flesh, the devils and demons, and then trying to be righteous and holy for a God, the way that He intends for us to live. It's a continuous battle. And I tell you, anyone like Brother Russell that's in the Army, boy, do you see, do they allow slackness, unfaithfulness, without saying a word to somebody and warning them, Brother Darren? I've never been in the Army, but what little bit I've heard and told, boys, if they treat the Army like most Christians treat the church house and serving God, they'd be booted out. And I mean booted out, probably locked up in the brig. And they'd be treated terrible. They'd be treated awful. But how much more important is it that we're in the army of God, training up little soldiers to fight this battle of the devil? God may come tonight, and I hope He does. That'll be over with. We won't have to train no more. There'll be no more training for the kids to be worried about. And the parents won't have to worry about their children. And if they're under the age of accountability, they'll go to heaven regardless, because I'm afraid a lot of these old families that's raising their kids, that's why God takes them at an early age. He knows what lays ahead. He knows the future with them. He knows where they're going to be. And they're a lot better off in heaven as an infant or even a little toddler that don't know and under the age of accountability than they are to be raised up in a drinking, a beer infested, a drug infested, and an old prostitution type, or just a plain old nothing that don't even never go to church, just a lazy nut bum that lays around their dad. And I tell you, it's time that the men stood up and took the place in the home and the position that God intended and what the Word of God says as the head of the house. And I'm going to say this, ladies, let him be the head of the house. Let him be the head. Don't answer everything for him when somebody asks him a question. Let him answer. Let him be what he's supposed to be. Now, if he's not, I don't continue to follow right behind him and go with him if he lays out of church and he's doing ungodly things. I'm not saying that. But if he's trying to strive to serve the Lord and doing right and telling his kids, don't turn around when he's gone and say, "Oh, your daddy's a little hard on you. Here, son, have this," or "here." No, sir, don't do that. If he's trying to live right and trying to and serve the Lord, then please, ladies, young ladies, and whatever. I know some of you haven't even got a husband, and that's fine. You pray for your grandchildren as I preach. You know what I'm talking about. But please, let him be the head. Let him be the head of the house. Listen to him if he's talking about godly things, and help him and encourage him along. And definitely go with him to church and places, and vice versa. Men, you don't let your ladies come in here by themselves. Man up. Be what you're supposed to be for the Lord. Now, if you're lost, if you are a lost man, you ain't going to recognize this. And that's the problem right now as I preach this message about training up a kid. A lot of people that's going to church and in the church houses, just like I preached my first message here, they're probably lost. A lot of people. 50% or better, we might say. And I'm afraid a lot of parents are sitting in the church houses. Maybe the daddy's lost. Maybe the mama's lost. Maybe both of them's lost. And there's no telling what'll happen to those kids. But let me tell you this. If you're sitting here, and I'll try to speed this up. If you're sitting in here tonight, if you're listening by way of internet or watching, and even if you are already trying your best, I believe there's people in here that's trying their best to line up with God. I'm not putting nobody, I believe you are. But I also believe on that same hand, there's people that could care less about what God has to say. They could care less as long as they let their young'uns go watch television and get out of their hair. They plug in the Xbox or whatever it is. That's their babysitter. That's their pacifier. And the computers. You know, I notice, and I can't help it, but there's more kids and even teenagers on up to the youth age. They bring cell phones to church, but no Bibles. They carry that cell phone religiously, brother, but there'll be no Bibles in their hands when they come to the house of God. What's going on? And I tell you, the foundation has to be laid. It says to train up a child. If you're a Christian, act like one. Tell somebody. And not only tell somebody, for God's sakes, you ought to be telling your kids how to live. And how to, you know, address when you go to the house of God. And how to just live your life. And you know, the main thing is, don't say that old saying, don't do as I do as I say. That's a saying we've heard. That ain't good. Son, you better be a training them. Somebody that trains you done knows what's going on. If you're going to get somebody to do a job or to train or teach somebody, you ain't going to get somebody that don't know what's going on to tell and to train other people. You train them exactly what the Word of God. Don't let Dr. Phil, Dr. Oz, and Oprah Winfrey and all this bunch of bull, you sit there in front of that tube all day long, glued in, think, yeah, that's what I need to do. Yeah, Dr. Phil, you're right. I need to start doing that with my kids. They're worldly. They'll tell you all about what the world will do. And you know as much as I know, as a Christian, we can live just as morally good in this world and do what the law, what the law says and what Dr. Phil says, and we won't get in trouble with the law. You won't get the social services called on you by doing what they tell you to do. But I tell you what you'll do, you'll send your child to hell not knowing a true and living God if you listen to this world and this nation. I tell you, you can't let the television raise your kids. You cannot. But we're letting everybody else raise our children but us. And I just see things for what they are. I'm simple. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what it is about when I look and see a man with pink shorts and flip-flops on. It does something. It makes me sick. I'll be honest with you. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not a fashion model. And you'd have probably laughed at the way I've come in here before, old boots, lager boots and whatnot. And that's fine. But I guarantee you, you won't look at the way I dress and associate me with being a sissy. I bet I won't be associated with an old sissy. And I tell you, being a daddy and being a Christian man is no place for sissies. There's no room for a sissy man in this ball game and in this battle. And you know what I mean. I mean, I know I wear shorts around in the house and stuff, and I've had them on before. But good Lord, don't look like some gay or whatever you want, some nut. And I mean, I look at that, and you see them. And there are a lot of them in these praise and worship type things. And they're raising their kids to be this type. What I tell you what, God, I'm just going to tell you plain. You're Bethel, I believe I can tell you. I was back there vacuuming whenever the Lord was dealing with me about this message. And this is what he told me. Today's generation, the people, the parents, are raising a bunch of wimpy, punkish vipers. That's what he told me, plain as day. He knows how I understand. He spoke to me. I don't care to tell you what he told me. Now, when I say wimpy, you look at the kids today. Boy, you talk about thin skin bunch. Boy, you barely touch them. Go over and clean your room. I don't have to. Well, bless God, you're going to. Or you're going to take a whooping. And that's what I call it, a whooping. All right, look here. Foolishness is bound. This is on down below. You can look at it in 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now, I don't use a rod. Hey, what if I went by what the Bible said? Now see, I might ought to get me a rod. But I use a belt, sometimes my hand. And I tell you this, and I'm just going to tell you flat out. If you rely on the social services to tell you how to raise your kids and what you can and cannot do, son, you can forget it. Time out. Time out to devil. Getting time out, son. That ain't going to work. It says right here, in 23 over here in 13, it says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him, and listen to this, beatest him, here comes the social services, with the rod he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Now what would you rather do? Put some blisters on the hind end of a young'un or send him to hell? Now, like I said, this is pretty plain talk. And it don't always have to be blisters and beating and banging. That's where the training comes in. We hope that maybe that along with the training and a little whooping occasionally, it may not have to be beat into them, of course. If the parents would do their jobs. Now, like I said, I'm preaching to the Wednesday night crowd, and I don't know, but there's several children in here tonight that wouldn't have been in here. Because they'd been over here, and I've got a little something for you in a minute too. So don't get to laughing and grinning too big. Because I'm telling you, we've got to get this right. The foundation has to be laid. If it ain't laid now, and like he said about witnessing, what are you doing in front of your kids that shows that you are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, besides having roast preacher for dinner on Sunday? That right there is bad news. You go talking about preachers. Now, granted, there's a difference in a false prophet and a preacher man. If a preacher man's getting up and preaching the gospel and telling you what's wrong and what's going on in this world and what's the truth and the way to live and to be saved and what you're to do, you need to back him. Now, there's a difference. But don't be talking about a man of God into dinner table with your young'uns. You can't do that. You can't be. There's so many people, these kids that'll get turned off of church, you'll ruin them right off the bat. But I'm telling you, to raise them up with what the Word of God says. And I'm telling you, I'm afraid today that a lot of us as parents and people that's in churches, one reason they're not raising them up, they don't read the Bible to start with. They don't know what the Bible says. That's why they turn to counselors and other people to see how to raise a child. If you'd listen to this right here, for all things, not just raising a child. Son, the answers is in this book for everything. They're in here. Train up them children. Train them up. You shouldn't be laying out of church. That ain't a good sign. You should be faithful to the house. And that's not even a work, darn. That's our reasonable service to the Lord. That's reasonable. That's what he expects. You know, I look at it like this. Hunter, Tanner, and Chase. They come in the house and they throw their clothes down. And I hate to say it, they took care of their daddy. And I'm working on that more and more. They throw them down. Throw down the things. Lay them here. Don't put them up. And I say, Hunter, would you put your clothes in the hamper, son? And, you know, he does it finally. Then I come back again another day, and there they lay again. Son, put your clothes where they go. You know where to put them. All right? The second time. Third time. Take them. But then I come in one day, and the clothes ain't there, and he's in the shower, but they're in the hamper. That's pretty good, ain't it? Does God have to tell you every move to make? Does he have to tell you to go see this and to go witness to this and to go to church on Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday? Don't you think he done knows what he's like I am in reasonable. In reason, I expect Hunter and Tanner and Chase to mind me, right? Well, in reason, God expects us to do as Christians what the Word of God says. Why don't we do it? We say we love the Lord. We say we love Him. We praise Him and jump. And we say we love Him. We love Him. We love Him. But we turn our back on Him all the time. Boy, we don't. I'm glad somebody don't love me like you love the Lord. I tell you what, you talk about turning your back on Him. That's all. I mean, and I'm guilty. I've been that way. See, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Catch myself in another position, think, ooh, that ain't good. Well, if I love you like I should dig in and do this, do better. But you know that's what it's going to take. I'm telling you, we're going to have to dig in the trenches. We're going to have to get serious about serving the Lord. Bethel Missionary Baptist Church can be just like a dead church. It can be dead, like a sepulcher. It can look all nice and decorated on the outside, be a bunch of dead bones in here. And if we ain't careful, if we do that, now just think in 10 years from now, and in 15 from years from now, Bobby, and these kids, my kids, and the kids that's here, that's going to be the church, what are they going to do? What are they going to know? Unless we train them. And let's not let the schools and the Bible schools and not let this Brother Darren have to preach to them and preach to you. Train them up. If you know what it says, do it. Don't just be hearers of the Word, be doers of the Word. That's where things will get accomplished. I can sit around and talk about cutting a tree down all day long and size him up and walk around him and look and say, yeah, I believe I can put him through there. And well, no, I might ought to take some limbs out of it first. Well, I might ought to top it. Well, I just don't know. Let me go think about it a while. And as long as I do that, she'll never be on the ground. It'll stand till the wind blows her down or something or other, tires it all to pieces and just puts her down. You got to put some effort to this stuff. The Word of God ain't just something in here for us to think, oh, boy, that's a nice thought. Do it. Train up them children because they're the next generation. They're the church. Don't let them be generations of vipers. Just like what he'd come to preach to the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes. I'm going to go over here and turn. I want you to turn. This is talking about the kids. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 1 through 3 here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So listen, children. If you're old enough to comprehend and to listen what I'm saying, listen. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And then, just you don't have to turn, but I'll read Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And don't you want to please the Lord with the way you live? Obey your parents. Listen to them. And then in Luke 18:20, honor thy father and thy mother. Pretty plain scripture, Darren. It's pretty plain. And it's for a kid to understand, I believe, it's when they get old enough to understand right and wrong. Honor thy father and thy mother. Obey your parents. Do you think your mom and dad don't love you? When they tell you to do something, they do. And when I was talking about carrying cell phones to the Bibles, it's okay to have a cell phone. It's okay to get on the computer. It's okay to play some video games. That's what, you know, that's some entertainment for the day for the kids. If it's a snowy day and it's raining, I'm not telling you can't play them. And I'm not telling the parents that they can't. And that, but I tell you, they got to be some regulating done. They got to be some regulations and stipulations put on this stuff. You can't let it be just a babysitter to them all day. And kids, listen to me. Read the Bible, even if you're young. I know a man that can't read or write or lick. And I, for the most part, most of you young'uns that I'm looking at can probably read and write. But I know a man that carries a Bible around. And somebody said, why in the world do you carry the Bible? You can't even read or write. He said, I just want to look like a Christian. I just want to at least look like one, if nothing else. And now he can hear the Word of God, but he carries it and he can't even read or write. So you kids, if you can read or write, you better have that Bible under your arm when you come in the church house. You better have a Bible under your arm. Now, just because you hold a Bible under your arm don't mean you're saved. But it's a good start in heading in a Christian direction. Look like one. You can at least start playing the part. So mamas and daddies, if they ain't got one, get them a Bible. And these young'uns that's old enough to really, they carry school books all over the place. They got a backpack full of them. It about breaks their back. So surely they can carry one Bible around with them in church house. And then I'm going to tell you, God really, you know, he got a hold of me. I'm telling you, it starts in the home, Brother Darren. It starts right in the house, in our homes. We talk about revival, and we talk about church and worshiping the Lord. But I'm telling you, it starts right inside here, revival in my heart, and inside your heart, in individuals' lives. And then it goes from your individual life in your home. It goes right into your home, to the kids. As I think about this message and about training up kids, and as for the children to be obedient to their mother and father, and you got to understand, kids, that the Bible itself is plain about being whooped and having a whooping with a belt or with a switch or however they choose. There is some correction that has to be made. But that means they love you. But I'll say this, and Darren said it a bunch about how his dad did. That's a good example of the way Roy Waldrop whooped Darren, as I'd say, give you a whooping. That's the way I say it. And he prayed about it. I believe, honestly, we got to be careful. I'm going to admit it, I've whooped my kids angry before. I have done it more than once. And then God smote my heart about it. He said, he just spoke to me and said, what if I ever whooped you angry? Like, oh gosh. But he's long suffering and he does have the wrath, but he doesn't, you know, that God's love's different. Just remember, as parents and kids, the whooping don't mean they don't love you. And you can't just buy their love, so don't think you can buy them all this stuff and they're going to love you anymore. You train them up God's way. And I'm honest, as these kids get old and understand God, they'll love you to death for what you did for them. They'll love you to death. They'll wrap their arms around you. So you cannot buy their love with all these little trinkets and toys. And don't think that you're being good to them when you don't whoop them, when they deserve a whooping. Because you need to whoop the young ones, because that's what it says. That's biblical. That ain't my sayings. And you watch it and see what a difference it makes. You can recognize little young ones that's never been whooped. You know, you pretty well can see them. Wilder and big Indians. And some of them's just that way. They got stuff wrong with them. But they need to be corrected. And there's ways to do that in a godly way. And in a godly way. And kids, you listen to your mamas and your daddies. And you let them whoop you when you need whooping. You just take your punishment. And you just learn. If I'm obedient, I won't get another one of them. That's what God does to us as grown-ups. It's a shame. Sometimes we got to be whooped over and over and over. And that's sometimes the way a kid's got. You can't give them one and expect it to be over. It goes a little further. It's further. It's training and training. And as I speak to the people that's older in here, that's youth age, let me tell you one thing. It's really good to have goals in life. For the ones that's in here that's in high school or whatever age, it's really good to have a goal. But don't you let your selfish goals get in the way of the will of God for your life. And I'm serious about that. Don't you get to thinking about how much money you can make and which job's going to pay the most. And that's what I'm going to go to school for, because God may be within a million miles of that, and you may be getting ready to go through a mess. And I'm telling you, homes today are in messes because of out of the will of God. Out of the will of God. And I'm telling you, young folk and parents, do not push something on them that all you're going to do is wreck their lives. We all talk about college. We all talk about getting a job and this and that. But we don't know what God's will is sometimes for our young'uns. We need to quit acting like we do. You need to pray and seek God's face for what they'd have to do. And you discipline them and show them what you're doing and tell them about when it comes time to marry that they get the right one by praying and letting God lead them. I was talking to Hunter, and he just turned 12, and I was talking to Landry the other day on my porch. And it'll surprise you what them boys know. Son, you better get on your toes with them. And they understand how to live, and they know when they do wrong. And they know now that they've been around the house of God and are saved, they know when they've went against God. So as I preach this message, it's kind of, it's hard for me. I'm 30. I said, Lord, I'm 34. I've got three. He said, preach it. He said, yeah, that's right, you've got three. That's the reason you're preaching. You're preaching to yourself the whole time too. I'm preaching to you. I'm telling you how to raise your kids. And you tell them. Because, honestly, what most things is going on today ain't going to cut the mustard. And we done see that it ain't. Brother Rick back there, drugs everywhere. Son, kids is in bad shape today when they reach up by teenagers. And I tell you, as I look out and it says, train up a child, and it's talking about the children obeying the parents. A tree, as I mentioned, a sapling tree is a lot easier to put. You can tie it off and make him grow straight up. And you can leave him staked out and took care of and prune him a little here and there. But you wait till that thing's over half grown and whatnot, you're going to have to bring out the heavy machinery to do anything with him then. And if you wait a little bit longer than that, it's impossible. You're either going to have to just let her go the way she is or cut her down. And I'm telling you, that's the way it is with the tree, and that's the way it is with a young'un. Get them early. Get them in here. Don't be lazy on God, because when they see you laying out of church, do you think that don't open the door for them to say, well, that's okay, because they're looking up to their parents. That's okay for me to do this. Well, they never did pray. Why do I have to pray? They never told nobody about Jesus. I don't remember them ever saying, why do I? And they got by fine. Yeah. One more verse of scripture here and I'm finished. Jeremiah chapter 6. I think I've got her marked in here. Yep. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. I'll give you a little time to turn, but I'll start reading for sake of time. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor my law, but rejected it. And as I begin to, the Lord led me to this scripture, to kind of, as he gave it to, at the end, kind of to close out the way I took it. Now, young people that may be listening and young people in here, you may think you know better. You may think you're smarter than your mom and dad. You may think you're smarter than Brother Darren or I. You may look at us as old fogies that want to serve the Lord and go to church all the time. But I'm telling you, the old pies. Now, them old pies, they're some bad old pies. But the old pies he's talking about in here is the way that was good. Years ago, you heard about revival meetings. Great revivals. Break loose week after week. People coming and getting saved and coming and getting saved. But what God showed me was in those days, There was no television. There was no computers. There was no cell phones. For the most part, there wasn't even automobiles in such days. Horse and buggy. Or you walked. When revival came to town, you didn't have 10,000 things to occupy your mind. They was excited about revival. It was about like a carnival or a circus coming to kids and even to the grown-ups, especially the ones that love the Lord. They went to revival meeting morning and night. And it may have went on for weeks. Weeks. It's all we do to get people here a time or two a week. And they're saying they're saved for the most part and won't even come. So here they go to revival meeting years ago. You start hearing about how many were saved. Let me tell you. When they preached, people believed it. They took God as His word back then. You know why they took God at His word? They was depending on Him for their food. If it didn't rain, they didn't eat. If a sunshine didn't shine enough, they didn't eat. They learned to trust in God. The devil and men and carnal people and the world. That's today, that's gone. When the people went in years ago and the little kids was preached to and people testified, they was able to go home to a corn-shuck bed that wasn't real comfortable, to an oil lantern that they lit. They wasn't as much stuff to take their mind off conviction that was eating on them from the meeting. That's why you had more saved back then. They trusted Him because they had to. They had more faith, and the conviction wasn't overruled with a television. Now, when you leave out of here in a moment, young people and older people and middle-aged people, you're probably going to either watch television or get something to eat. Back in them days, they didn't have that. They didn't have a McDonald's to run to. So let me tell you, the God that we serve today is still the same God that was in them revival days of old. He's the one that walked in the old paths and that the people relied on for their food. The only difference is, we have let down our guard and we do not care. Because we have Walmart's produce and all the other gadgets and trinkets to occupy our kids and our time. When they went home in them nights and they laid in that bed and the old men of God went to praying, their kids could hear them because there wasn't a television to blaring or on the cell phone. You think that wouldn't bring conviction to them laying in them little corn shuck beds and them sticking them? They wasn't hardly comfortable to start with, and here they know they're lost. They start recognizing. So be careful. You regulate these things we got today. You can use them for good or bad. You can use them for just like we have the internet right back there. We have a television, or whatever you call it, the camera. It's being broadcast preaching. That's good. But I'm telling you, we're going to have stipulations on this junk. You're going to have to show them kids that it ain't all about partying and having fun. I love to have fun as much as anybody, but you can't just all the time fun. You've got to be a working and training and doing something for the Lord and showing these young'uns that it ain't all about just fun. They're going to have to work one day. God forbid, they're going to have to work one day. Goodness gracious. What are they going to do? You can't even hardly get them to clean their room. What are they going to do when they got to go to a job 8 hours a day and get up at 6 o'clock every day and head out? Can't be late there. You'll get fired. So just listen. We see a lot of people, and we see teenagers. This goes above the children's age, and it's because of some things that may have happened. And you see it all the time. And I hope and pray that mine don't turn out this way, Darren. Trying to raise them and train them. Boy, let's pray for them. You people out here that ain't got kids, you think, well, you're preaching the way you preach. Granny Louise, you be a praying for my boys. Mark, you pray for my boys and all the others. You just pray for all of them. It's a mess. It's a battle. But I tell you, we've got to be serious about it. We have got to be serious about what we're in here. Just like we've got to be serious about winning people to Jesus. And these teenagers that come up. Now, you correct me if I'm wrong. We'll see the teenagers that will fill this place. You know, a lot of them's in here. A lot of them ain't. Don't know where they went. Some of them's been off to the teenage years, up to the 20s. That used to be in here, Brother Darren. And I've seen a bunch of them in this altar before. And then, you know, and I'm going to tell you what's the truth. If you're dumb enough, teenager or college-age kid, to put your picture on Facebook holding a beer up, I might be dumb enough to accidentally see it. Now, I'm telling the truth. Who do you think you're serving? Winnie the Pooh? You're serving an almighty God. That when your parents, when your preacher and your church is not around, God sees everything you do, children, and teenager, and college age, and old age. God sees every move you make. And like I said, come down here in the altar and Friday night, have a beer in your hand. Like, woo-wee. If you're dumb enough to do that, God's Lord. I'm telling you, you better get right with the Lord. And parents, we better get right with the Lord and scooch up close to Him and raise these kids. You know what? We're going to be held accountable for these kids. The blood will be on your hands, as He just said. With the children, you're responsible for these children. And you better get to the job. And I had to. And bless God, we better get with it for the Lord. Tell people, witness to the people. That's what will change all this stuff, is witnessing and working. You won't have time to be drinking no beer and sitting around acting like a fool. If you work for the Lord, you'll have so much conviction. If you're doing His work, you can you may start to do something. And the Holy Ghost will say, whoops, He'll arrest you. But if you get out there and about, you can do about anything. You start getting out and getting down, you can do about anything. You can look just like a lost man. And let's just get right with the Lord and get our children on the right paths, on the paths that are good, the ones that's going to really help them. We can save up thousands of dollars for college and brag about them and dress them all up nice when they're little and bring them and show them off to people. But if we're not telling them and correcting them, then we're not doing them no good. We're acting, and I tell you another thing, bless God, these ball games and all these hobbies. Now, I'm going to say hobbies because I like hobbies too. I like to deer hunt. I like to fish. But I'm going to tell you, if we spend as much time as for the most part that most people do, running kids back and forth to practices like I have done and I'll continue to do, but they've got to be a regulation, like I said. But if we would do the same for our Lord and Savior as we run to these ball games back and forth and take them and hoop and holler, something would get done for the Lord. I'm telling you, something would get done for the Lord. And if we spend as much time thinking about the Lord and reading the Bible as we did Cabela's and Bass Pro Shop and the wildlife magazines, you'd learn something different. You'd learn about the Lord versus about when's the best prime time to kill a big deer. And I'm just telling the truth. That's the way it is. It hits me as much as it hits anybody. You can come to my house right now and look. And if you had to come to my house 5 years ago, probably where the Bible's laying that I read right there beside was probably a Cabela's book. I used to intermingle them around a lot, right smart. But the Lord, He dealt with me. That's just like them mud flaps. I'm not telling you that you're going to hell, that you have to lay that down. But God sure talked to me. And I'll just tell you this. The closer you get to God, I don't care who you are. Now, you can argue with me till you're blue in the face. But I'll just tell you, the closer you get to the Lord, the more of this world you'll throw aside. And it won't be so much that you feel like, oh, I won't miss that. You'll be thinking, good Lord, how in the world? Why was I doing this? Why didn't I devote that to this? And that's just the way it is. The Lord convicted me not long ago, a little over three years ago, driving down my driveway now. And I turned on the radio to country music. And just driving down my driveway, God spoke to me and said, it was an old beer drinking song, like a lot of it is, really and truly, it is. And God said, do you like that lifestyle? I said, no, Lord. He said, do you condone it? No, Lord. I had my boys sitting there with me in the truck. He said, do they know you don't? Because you sure putting on it like you do. You like that. And I went, click. And so help me stand before the Lord. I've not turned that on no more. I'm not telling you that if you listen to country music, you're going to hell and that you can't live right. But I will say this, and I'll tell you, The closer you get to Jesus, the more you do for Him, the closer you get, you'll start taking off your garments. It'll be them old weights dragging you down. It could be alcohol. It could be a drug addiction. It could be country music. It could be all this old heavy metal stuff. And bless God, you need to lay that down regardless of what He says. I'm just going ahead and tell you on credit, quit that. I ain't like the mud flaps. I'll just tell you, you better get rid of that old heavy metal rock stuff, punk music. But I tell you, the closer you get to God, and if I'm wrong and you try it, you come tell me. I want to hear your story. But if you'll scooch up close to God and start devoting time and praying, and with these kids too, morning or evening, every time you get a chance, and devote time to the Lord, you just mark her down in your little book. You'll see some things where you thought wasn't wrong tonight that'll be wrong then. It'll be wrong to you. It'll be a conviction, a personal, and you'll lay her off. Just like, you know, and you'll get closer. And I just want to tell you that we preach this hoping that maybe it'll nail home somewhere. And if one family can get their child reared up that's a little boy that may have turned out to be like an old wild Indian, then it's worth it. Because I'm telling you, a lot of kids are going AWOL on God. And when I say that, where are they at? Where's the ones that was a teenager maybe when I first come? It's not here. Now, if they're in another church, I'd like to hear about it. I'd like to hear. If they're not, I mean, we'll pray for them. Where are they at? A lot of times we think that we know more than God. We think, oh, that's for the old people. I need to get out here and make $1 million. Live it up. Well, I'm going to tell you, you'll be glad you listened to the man of God and to your mother and daddy that was godly when she comes time to get out of here. Because we're getting out of here one day, little young'uns. He could come tonight. And if you've not been born again, and while I've been preaching, you understood everything I said about how to live right and how to do right, and you knew that was right and from wrong, and you know that you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior and never called on Him to save you, well, then tonight be a good night to do it. Tonight be a good night. Today's a day of salvation. And if there's any older person in here that would like to get up here and holler in a moment, and I'm going to be right down here with you. If you don't come, I'll be by myself. And I'm going to pray that God would lead and guide and direct our home life in a way that would be pleasing unto Him. And that these little kids that we have is going to see the light. I don't want to see none of them go to hell. And I'm going to tell them, not on our watch. I don't want no young'un to go to hell on my watch or on your watch. I don't think you do. And if you've got one out there that's strayed, go to him. Go to her. And you tell them, this ain't right. You show them what the Word of God says for their lives. Do the best you can do. What's the worst thing you can do? Send them off a little bit further. They're down a way out there now. God knows what He's doing. He wouldn't tell you to do this if He thought it was going to run them out. That's the only thing that's going to bring them in, is living godly. That right there will draw the crowd. You don't need all the trinkets and gadgets and parties and all the jumping and the going. We need the Lord in our lives and in our homes. That's right there is what will make a difference. We don't need all these hobbies and ball games to please our kids. And they're all fun in their place. I love them myself. I'll just be honest. But boy, you can't let them overrule you. And you can't let them override you. And you can't let your kids tell the mom and daddies what to do. You can't let them guide you. I ask people to come to church. They say, what kind of youth program you got? I tell them, well, our little daughter, our little boy, we'll just say Tommy for just the word Tommy or whatever, Betsy. She really wants to, we got to take her. She likes that right there. Now, we don't much like going there. It's kind of dead, but boy, they like that little stuff they do for the kids, the little puppet skits and stuff. I'm telling you, you don't let these young'uns tell you what to do. Because it says right here, well, they're foolishness in a child. And you're a fool if you let them lead you around by the nose. Just like the little deer, a mama deer. And old Ken knows how this is. You take a mama deer. She's got two fawns headed out through a field. They come to the edge of the field. The mama skirts the edge of it. There's an old path there she knows is safe. She's walked it for years. But here's the two little fawns that take off up through the field. And they're running in a wide open space. And they're going over the top. Well, the mother had already been alerted. She got a whiff of a hunter. And the way she understood, the wind is blowing in the direction, he should be over that hill. So we're staying on this old path where it's safe. But here's these two little fawns kicking up their heels, running up the hill saying, come follow me, Mama. Come up here. Come up here. She sits back and bleats at them. Nope. Get back down here, children. There's a hunter across that hill. We don't know that path. But if we stay down here in this old path and walk, then we're going to be safe. And I'm telling you, kids, listen to your mom and daddies. Listen to the old man of God. You listen. You start listening to gospel music and preaching every time you get a chance. I don't care how little you are. You just take her and soak her all in like taking a bath. And it'll register in you. And if you've never been saved, children, you've seen young kids get saved. It happens to them. Miss Carrie, my boys, they've been people got saved when they're little. That's a good time to get in while you're little. While you're a child. Come humbly to Him, because you don't know a lot about it. You don't have to know a lot about it. I don't know exactly how to close out other than just, if you want to play something on the piano, soft or whatever, just whatever you feel led to something. But I would ask you, if you feel that you need to be in this altar, if it's not for salvation, just that you're concerned for your family, for your children, and for the way that you're raising and what they see in you, I think you ought to get down here and pray tonight for our kids and for the parents, what we need to be in our lives. Because a lot of people, we've turned around and got backslid on God, and we're training them up in the wrong path. You may be trying tonight to live a good Christian life, and that is great. You just keep in there for the Lord. And you show them kids what to be. And you show them, and you not only show them, but you live it in front of them. You witness to people at Walmart in front of these kids. When you're on a telephone, you have godly conversations in front of them about what you're doing. Don't let them hear you talking the trash of the world.